It's my Friday. Everybody else is Thursday. I'm off tomorrow, Bill.
Now, at that point, you're just bragging is what you're doing.
Yep, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to the Bears game tonight, hoping to go to the Sox game on Friday, maybe the Kane County Flea Market on Saturday, family reunion Sunday.
All in one weekend? How do you do it?
I don't know how I'm going to do it because you know me. I don't like to do more than one thing a weekend.
Right. This is a lot of work for you.
I don't know. All this relaxing.
It's a lot of work.
It's not relaxing. It's tonight going to the Bears game is going to be...
futile? Would that be the right word?
No, it's going to be fun, yet there's a lot of traversing to get there.
Yes.
We're taking the train in, me and three of my girlfriends.
For some reason in my head it was your family attending the Bears game, but it's not.
No.
It's you and your girlfriends.
My poor friend Sue and her husband Jeff have been on the waiting list to get tickets for the Bears, season tickets, for, I want to say, 15 years.
Oh, wow.
And they finally came through like last year or the year before, like when they're not doing well.
I'm surprised it took that long. No, no disrespect to the Bears, but...
I know, I was shocked.
Kind of had a downturn.
But they'll turn it around again.
Hmm.
They have to. They can't get worse, right? They have to turn it around.
I don't think they'll get worse, but I think that they're a lot farther behind than most people do.
Well, whatever. Aaron Rodgers makes too much money. $134 million or something of that ilk. That's ridiculous. Bill, that's too much
money. But he is, I would say,
I'm not faulting him.
He is one of a very select few guys who really can make or break a team.
That's too much money.
Is that too much money?
And I'm not blaming him. Oh my God, you take what they are going to give you.
Right. Now, you know, there was a time not long ago that Jay Cutler, whose name should never be spoken,
I'm surprised you spoke it,
was making more money than Aaron Rodgers. Jay Cutler. That the same Jay Cutler,
better agent.
Who?
I mean,
I know you're kidding, but that's what
it.
I think that played a big role in it because the numbers sure didn't justify him making more money than Aaron Rodgers, not even close. But for Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys that I go, yeah, if you can make that money, jump at it. Good
I know,
for you.
But it just seems like quarterback. Has it gotten like 100% hotter in here, or am I just having a hot flash?
I think it's a hot flash. I'm fine.
What does that
didn't get any
thermostat
warmer.
Say, Jazzy?
116.
72.
72 is too hot.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Where do you want it?
I want it about 67.
All right.
That's what my house is at.
67. When you hit it here, it just says WMAQ on it. Isn't that
it's
weird?
It's going to make me rich. It's like it did Aaron Rodgers.
It's going to make you hot.
I don't know what it is. I just all of a sudden...
Did you get really hot all of a sudden?
I'm over my hot flashes.
Oh.
They're long gone.
They don't reoccur?
No. Once they're gone, they're gone.
Happens. All right.
But it just got very warm in here. I don't know what happened.
Because we mentioned Jay Cutler.
Yeah,
I get that same way every time someone says Jay Cutler.
Chill.
I go, I'm getting a hot flash. Look at me.
But we're hopping on the train. We're going to do some pre-game
drinking. Train or the bandwagon?
Both. First the train.
The train, and if they win, the bandwagon.
I just, my friends.
Although tonight, you know, you're not going to see any guys that are going to play for the Bears.
I'm just going for the whole ambiance. Preseason, I went last year with these same girls, Sue and Gail and Marianne. And it's just a good time. And then we rode in one of those rickshaws back to our car.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of a fun night, but it involves a lot of walking. And, you know, there's no easy way to get to any event, I figured out.
This is like if they made Planes, Trains, and Automobiles about you, this would be it tonight. You're going to take every kind of transportation there is. First, we go-karted to Soldier Field.
Yeah, I am kind of doing that.
Then we pogo-sticked back to our car.
Man, did I love pogo-sticking. You just gave me a lovely childhood memory.
I don't remember the last time I saw one. I don't know that
did you have
still,
one?
My neighbors had one.
I had my
we
own.
Used it frequently.
I loved it. I had streamers on mine.
Oh, no. Ritzy.
I Very loved nice. My pogo-stick. And I loved tetherball. Tetherball was like my favorite thing on the school playground.
I'm surprised you didn't go pro. You seem to me like...
I could have.
You could have, yeah, you could have made a lot of money in the tetherball world.
It was me, and Donna Winnecke was the girl to beat.
If that had played out, I bet Aaron Rodgers would be in a radio studio somewhere complaining about how much money you're earning as a tetherball player.
Do they have professional tetherball?
Oh, he's huge, gigantic.
I could get back into
fastest
that.
Fastest growing sport on the planet.
God, I'm just thinking about all these childhood things.
What's the one that Napoleon Dynamite plays at the end of the movie, where it's on a stick and you punch it with your hand and it goes
around? Tetherball.
That is tetherball.
Yeah, my I think it was my brother who made it for me. It took a car tire, like a rubber tire. He filled it with cement and then inserted a pole into it. And when it dried, we could, you know, you just kind of pull the pole and you could roll the tire so you could roll it to the neighbor's house.
Yeah.
So we had a portable tetherball player and you just, or a set, whatever it is, and you tie the ball. There's a little hole in the top of the metal pole.
Yeah.
You tie the ball to a rope and then the other end of the rope to that little loop. Wow. And you have to tie it really tight because the worst thing, and this has happened many a times, is it would fly over to the neighbor's house because you do a huge hit.
Yeah, punch it. You punch
it. And if it comes untied, that thing's sailing down the block.
It's a weapon. You created an international incident by doing that.
Yeah.
All right. So many times when I was a kid, we'd go someplace that would have that. And then the other thing, if they had tetherball, this was mostly at a park or a hotel. See if you remember this. I'm going to
describe
this.
Those are weird combinations.
But when I tell you what I mean, you'll go, oh, yeah, they have those at parks and hotels. All right, here's what it is. It's this oddly shaped thing that is up about 10 feet high. And what you want to do is you want to take either a tennis ball or a rubber-coated ball and throw it inside of it. And then it comes out one of six different holes that all have different – they're all in different directions – and they have the numbers like 1 through 6. And then if you throw it through there and catch it, and if it comes out the number 4, you get 4 points. If it comes out the number 1, you get 1 point. 6, you get 6 points. Do you ever see one of these? I have no idea what it's called.
I'm telling you, this does not sound familiar to me at all.
It's so peculiarly shaped. It's shaped, it looks like a giant seashell, but then it has different kind of pockets where the numbers are. I know I'm not imagining this because I'd see them all the time when I was a kid. If you'd go to a hotel, there'd be one in the back. No one would ever play it except me. They just invented it for me, I think.
This was in the back of hotels. We only stayed
hotels
in motels.
Or parks. Oh, motels would not have
yeah,
these.
Yeah, so that's why.
No, you had to be.
Howard Johnson's all the way. Motor Lodge.
No. These were strictly hotels. Motels, they wouldn't know what to do with this.
Yeah, we didn't have money to stay in hotels.
But isn't it weird? Like, I've told other people about it, and they always go, yeah, I always saw that. What's it called? Nobody knows.
I never even heard of it. What's the number here? 312-235-2525?
I'll call it, Wendy, but I don't think you're going to know.
Not you.
Oh, you want somebody else to call it? All right.
Listeners, if you could have seen his face looking for his phone, 312-235-2525.
I'll put in a call, but I'm telling you, no, I'm not going to know it on the phone
either. Someone who knows where, and this is what I'm Googling, playground game where you throw ball in.
It looks to be like a giant, almost a kind of a seashell, I guess. I hope I'm doing it justice. It's the most oddly shaped thing. It's up about.
Funnel ball.
Oh, I could see where it'd be called funnel ball. Is
it's
that right?
It's funnel ball. It's more like a megaphone, not a seashell, right?
Like a crossbreed between a megaphone
right,
and a seashell.
You gotta come over here.
Hold on.
It's, although I'm sure yours was bigger. Hang on, right there. Is that it?
Yeah.
But a bigger, more metal version of it.
It's what you're
funnel
showing
ball.
Me. Now, the one you're showing me is like a fire engine red, kind of. The ones I saw as a kid were almost always white. Because I'd see them in Florida all the time. Hotels in Florida, for some reason, just loved these. But then, like I said, they'd have them at parks, too. But nobody would ever play it. Because it's stupid.
Funnel ball is a game. It's not stupid, Bill.
No?
That provides a high level of interaction among children. It's on a playground mostly.
Yeah, but does it say sometimes parks or hotels? Because that's where I was.
No.
Oh, because I'd see them there.
Develops hand-eye coordination and depends on physics as much as skill. This means that children who are less athletically inclined have a best occasion of winning funnel ball than they would at, say, basketball.
So the less athletic you are, the bigger your chance of being good at this? Is that true?
No, you don't.
It evens the playing field.
Right, because it's not all skill related. There is some kind
of chance involved.
And there's some kind of thought as to where the ball's going to come out.
I think that's what's keeping people from playing it more. Because
you have to think?
Well,
it says it depends on physics as much as skill. So children who are less athletically inclined have the best occasion of winning funnel ball.
All right.
It's a game that is versatile enough to accommodate any amount of variations in rules. For example, extra points could be awarded for scoring some predetermined number. The amount every score could be doubled. You can change it, but I want to just say...
That's the thing, is when you approach one of these, there's never any rules. Like, you don't... Like, the rules that I just told you, I assume those are the rules. You know, if it comes out the number three spot and you catch it, you get 3 points. That's what seemed to make sense, but I could be horribly wrong.
Funnel ball is one of the superior playground games like tetherball and foursquare.
Oh.
Can be played by children of all ages and can be modified for use by children in wheelchairs.
Hmm.
Yeah, it can.
I guess you could. It would be...
Well, now the new ones probably have a pole that would go up or down.
Oh, maybe.
To play funnel ball... Oh, wait. The equipment is a large fiberglass funnel...
Yeah.
Hence the name.
Funnel ball.
Or seashell ball, as Bill called it.
I would call it seashell
ball. Clamshell
ball. It sounds more mystical. It sounds more... It sounds just like more vacation-y.
You toss a small...
Who wants to play seashell ball? Is it just me and my mermaid friends?
Where's SpongeBob when you need him? To play funnel ball... Oh, wait, the equipment. It's about 5 feet in diameter. That's pretty big.
Yeah.
Oh, in diameter, not radius.
Yeah.
Roughly 45-degree pitch. It sits atop a 9-foot post.
Oh, I wasn't off by much. What did I say, 10 feet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just missed it.
At the bottom of the funnel are 4 holes of roughly 1 foot in diameter settled at 90-degree angles to one another.
All right, now this is where it differs for me because it says 4, and I remember specifically, like, the place we played it in the Florida Keys had 6, and I once saw one that had 8, and I didn't know what to make of it. I was stymied. I was.
They're at 90-degree angles to one another. Was that still the case?
That seems right, yeah.
These holes have guides projected parallel to the ground, or in other words, sideways. Each exit hole has an amount written above it.
Yeah, that part's right. But, now, in my recollection of it, like, they seem to say that it's kind of standard, that all the, no, it's not?
No, I think, you said how many were there?
The one I was most used to was 6, but I once saw one with 8.
Okay, because the ball exits are numbered 2, 4, 6, or 8. Could you be confusing yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
I could be.
Because you were little.
Who could count that high? Not me.
Hookah.
Who could?
Yeah. To play funnel ball,
yeah.
You toss a small treatment ball or a basketball.
No, you could... That's ridiculous.
Into the top of the funnel.
A basketball would get stuck in the funnel.
Depending on the speed and direction of the ball,
and my mermaid friends would find something else to do, leave me on my own. We're going back to the sea. Oh, mermaid friends, stay with me.
So the speed and direction of the ball spins around inside the funnel, exiting out one of the holes. Points are calculated by the amount atop the hole that the ball exits, 2, 4, 6, or 8. For example, if the ball exits from the hole with a 4 above it, the thrower or the team gains 4 points. Thanks for explaining that.
Oh. But don't you have to catch it to get the points? Like, if you throw it through... I mean, just because of gravity, if you throw it in, it's going to go out a hole, so that's automatic points. I think you should have to catch it to get the points.
Well, here are a few suggested rules for coordinating a funnel ball game.
Mm-hmm.
With children of different ages.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out for kindergartners. Yes, they're shorter, but make sure you pass to them also so they'll be participating and not just running around watching the older kids play.
Okay, in my rules, kindergartners can't play. They're just not allowed. Sorry, kindergartners.
When passing, this is just killing me. I don't know where this is, sharpschool.net.
Oh.
When passing, call out the name of the man you're passing to.
Mm-hmm.
Should be...
Or person.
Yeah.
I'd say person.
Yep. Make sure they're seeing at you. I think they mean looking at you when you pass the ball to minimize chances of accidentally hitting them with the ball. Or it turns into a dodgeball game.
Yeah, right.
3, run gently and pay attentiveness to where the ball is headed. 4 is my favorite. Do not fight over the ball.
Oh.
Do not run at full speed because you could categorically knock one of the younger or smaller children down.
Well, that's their problem, not my problem.
And finally, 5, choose an instructor or a teaching assistant to referee in order to keep things fair.
I do agree with that part of
it. That could be your part-time job.
I would love to be
a funnel ball
referee. You can park wherever you want. You're treated like a diplomat if you have that on your business card.
Funnel. I vaguely remember this, Bill.
But the way they're describing it, it has a lot of structure. Because the ones that I'm used to seeing are so oddly shaped, and the ball could come out of like a hole toward the top or toward the middle or toward the bottom. Like I said, some had six holes, some had eight. I could be wrong because maybe it did go even numbers only, but I just remember the one that we played at in the Florida Keys. It was shaped like a space alien almost, and the ball could come out toward the top and it would be 6 points, or toward the bottom it would be worth 10 points. It was just crazy.
You can buy a funnel ball game for $416. This one even looks different. This is...
You could buy one?
Yeah, these are
I guess if you have a hotel or a park, you don't want to make your own. It's better to buy one from a professional.
Oh, well, I guess you wouldn't make your own.
Also, the ones that I saw, now again, keep in mind, I was most familiar with the Florida version of this, but maybe they had a very kind of a stucco finish to them.
Oh, you know? They were high-end.
Yeah, very high-end ones, yeah.
Do you want to know the top 10 playground games? I bet you can guess them all. Funnel ball is one of them.
Funnel ball, is it in order? Do they rank them in order?
No, I'm just going to give you the top 10.
All right.
Are you going to try? Because you could probably name them all.
Well,
funnel ball is the only one I wouldn't have guessed because I don't really know what
that
is.
One. All right, so hopscotch is certainly going to be on there.
God, I loved that. It was really kind of stupid, but I really enjoyed it.
Hopscotch is a good time. I still play sometimes. I'm going to say tug of war.
Good guess, but no.
It's not on there? Mm-mm. Tug of war?
Top 10 playground games.
Basketball? Does that count? Or no?
No, these are just on the playground at an elementary school. Yeah, playground games.
Punch Nick?
Did not make the list.
You know who's happy about that? Nick is thrilled to hear that.
Tetherball.
Right. Oh, how
funnel
about...
Funnel ball.
Tetherball.
Hopscotch.
Right. Hey, hey, get out of my way.
What's that?
That's what the kids in my school would play. And here, I think
dodgeball.
I told you about this once. Oh, dodgeball, of course.
Is that what dodgeball. Hey, hey, get out of my way is?
This is what they would do at St. Damien's School. And I thought it was idiotic, but this is what kids would do. They would join hands like a series.
Like a Coke commercial?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to teach the world this thing. All right.
All right. So let's say you're here and your friends are on each side. So you would hold hands and you would stretch it out as long as you can. And you'd walk across the playground or the parking lot and you would say these words. Hey, hey, get out of my way. I just came back from the USA.
All right. That's not on the list.
And I would say you are currently in the USA. And that is null and void, because if you just came back from the USA, you'd be somewhere else, not ruining everybody else's fun at the playground.
And did they all jump on you and beat you up for ruining the fun?
That's what it started, yes. Right.
So then it was kick the billy.
Yeah, we played kick the billy for a little while after that. I say we. It was mostly them. But yeah, hey, hey, get out of my way. It was a fun game to play on the playground.
What was the saying again?
Hey, hey, get out of my way. I just came back from the USA. Long line of kids doing this. They'd play that for 45 minutes. And I'd say to the teacher, none of them are going to amount to anything, right? And they'd go, no. These kids, no. Not a chance.
That's silly.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Jimmy Mack, my husband, had this game that he played called Stick Shoe. And all I know...
What's Stick Shoe?
I don't know. He made it up. He and his friends... always involved a weeping willow tree. Do you know those weeping... this is so ridiculous, because every time we go buy one...
Let's say you really wanted to play it, but you had a spruce.
No.
You couldn't play
it. Here's why. You know what I'm talking about, the weeping willow trees, usually found near a creek, a crick, sometimes people call it.
Yeah.
It looks like it's just these fronds that come over. So what you would do is you would take a little branch, and when you take the leaves off it, it's like a whip.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a weeping willow tree. So all I know is that there was a whip from a weeping willow tree and someone's shoe that they would throw at you, and they called it Stick Shoe. The game seemed more creative.
How did you decide who to throw your shoe at?
I'd have to ask them. I don't really know.
It was random? Like you just...
I don't know, but it was...
How would you score points in Stick Shoe?
I don't know. How did you score points with "Hey, hey, ho, ho, I'm back from the USA"?
Hey, hey, get out of my way. I just got back from the USA.
See what I mean?
I think
sometimes
that
you
one
just
was just a
games.
Time filler. Was
maybe
Jimmy
stick
just a,
shoe? He also went to a Catholic school, so maybe you guys make up games just to.
We were just trying to find some escape.
Yeah.
In the Catholic
and
school.
And to have fun for some part of your day.
For a small portion of the day, we just wanted some kind of release.
And a lot of Catholic schools didn't even have gyms.
No, that's true.
So
ours didn't. Ours
so
did
what'd you do in the winter?
Church. Go to church an extra hour. My brother and I invented a game called Bumper Ball, and here's how you play Bumper Ball. And I'm not kidding. This was fantastic. Our basement was tiled, and we would roller skate in a circle, and we could use all the walls as things you could kick off of or pass of. So we're wearing roller skates. We're skating in a circle, kind of like roller derby. We had a ball that was one of, like, you know when you'd go to Jewel and in front of the aisle that sold toys, they had a giant metal
basket.
Tower.
Yes, yes, yes.
That went from the floor to the ceiling.
And pretty colors.
Yeah.
I always got a ball. I swear my mom bought me a ball
every time
she went to the Jewel.
Here's why. Those balls were 99 cents back then.
Yeah.
Right? So it was,
maybe even 59.
Right.
They were super cheap.
So you knew you could keep your kid quiet just by getting him a ball from the ball tower, right?
Yep.
So we would use that ball. So it started out, we would be adjacent to each other, and then it was like soccer, but also like roller derby. And then in one corner was this triangle that served as a goal, and you had to get it in the goal. So you'd be passing to yourself. You'd be kicking off the walls and pass. You'd have to figure out, well, in 3 seconds, I'll be on that side of the room, so I'll kick it off that wall. And your end goal was to get it inside the triangle for the goal.
All right, that's a great game.
It was fantastic. It couldn't be more fun. I would play that today if my brother called me and said, how about a quick game of bumper ball? I'd drive out. I'd go.
You know, it's funny you mentioned those towers because all I can think about is there was always like a beautiful green marbleized or purple one at the bottom.
Yes.
So my mom would say, if you can figure out how to get it. So you'd start, because you could stick your arms in there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You'd kind of move it up and then you'd move your arms and put them into the new.
That's like a great game.
Why doesn't somebody
sell the Tower of Balls as a game? That would be a great game.
Because you'd use patience because once you eyed the ball that you wanted, there was no way you were going to settle for another one.
I know.
And then as you got up to the top, you would just put one arm in and step on your tippy toes and throw it out to yourself.
To the top. Yeah.
Oh my God. I just want to go do that today.
That's so much fun.
All right, so tetherball, four square is another top 10 playground game.
What
I love
four square.
You
I don't
went
think
to
I
a
know.
Catholic school.
I don't think I know what it is.
You have four spots on, like, basically, you draw an X on the cement, large, and there's a person in each of those squares. So there are four squares, and you like two squared. You know what two square is?
Is it half of four square?
Yes. When
your other two friends are sick that day?
It's those red dimpled kickballs that you would use, and you would just use the line.
Oh.
You'd have, it's kind of like table tennis meets volleyball. You would serve, and it would bounce into the other person's court. You had to hit it on one bounce, or you could hit it. You really never played kickball?
Four
square?
Four square, I've heard of.
A square is divided into four equal parts and labeled with the numbers 1 through 4. Four players take turns bouncing a ball back and forth, trying to eliminate the other players and move up in the square numbers. The person in square one is considered to be the highest ranking. So you would, you know, you could set yourself up like
in volleyball?
Yes, you'd set yourself up and then you'd smash it so it would just hit the corner of their square and they had no time to even reach it.
So that's the main goal. Is to advance to position one. Oh, that's interesting.
And then somebody else, I forgot about that part. Someone else then would enter the game in square four and they work their way up.
Oh,
I had so much
that
fun.
That sounds good. Wait, don't read the rest yet because, you know, Ryan Burrow's coming in to do the news and he's a busy man. We don't have time to screw around with him.
Did you ever play four squares or two squares?
I did. I vaguely remember it, but I do remember. I even remember where it's set up at my old school.
Oh.
I was one of those girls who wanted to beat every single boy.
Yeah.
I would not take no for an answer. I just really was probably really mean to all the other girls there probably not really nice to the boys either.
Yeah,
I wanted to win.
Yeah. You're ruthless.
Yeah, I changed.
Yeah.
Now I don't care.
The old Wendy,
not
today's Wendy.
Let's all have fun.
Yep. All right. Ryan will give you the news and then more fun talk. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. Ryan, thanks very much.
Thanks, Ryan.
As Ryan mentioned,
we'll keep following that story for you.
We will definitely be following that the story, so keep it right here on WGN. I thought of another game, Wendy. We were talking about the top games. These would be the top 10 games played in playgrounds.
Games.
Yeah, Mumbly Peg. What?
Is that the one with the knife?
It's the one with the
knife.
Okay,
that's not played on a playground.
I've seen it played on a playground.
Yeah, but not under the supervision of anyone.
Most teachers would probably try to steer you away.
The hoodlums of your class would put their hand out with a knife and go in between the spaces of their fingers.
You could do that, and then there was also the other one where you'd have to throw the knife down at the person's shoes, and you wanted to be closer to the person's foot than they were to yours.
Without hitting them.
Without, putting the knife through their foot.
I would only play that while wearing steel-toed work boots.
It's not a fun game to play with sandals.
Right.
If you're wearing sandals, you may want to wait on that. Now that one's not called Mumbly Peg, though, right? Mumbly Peg is just for the...
Chicken, maybe? I don't know what it's called.
Oh, maybe chicken. That sounds right.
I didn't play those games.
Chickens love playing that game. That's chicken's favorite game to play.
Yeah, but it's difficult with them because they have webbing in between their little paws or toes or digits.
And throwing the knife is also a challenge.
Oh, I guess I didn't think about that. But their hair looks great because they always have a comb. While talking about playground, go back to playground jokes. That's what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
So tetherball, these are the top 10 playground games. Foursquare. No.
Frisbee's not in there?
Funnel ball, as you mentioned. Capture the flag.
Yeah.
I don't recall the rules. The playground is divided into two territories. Oh, yeah. Two teams each hide a flag somewhere on their territory, and the other team tries to break across the line, catch the flag, return to their own territory with the flag without being caught.
Yeah, that's a great time.
We had a good time playing that.
What about Red Rover?
That is on here.
Is it on it? Yeah.
Very good. We should be playing the match game.
I knew I got one.
Or no, Family Feud.
Yeah.
But you won, just one person in your family.
Red Rover, Red Rover, let Kevin come over. And then he would run over and you'd accept him as a member of your own.
Red Rover features two teams that form one line holding hands. This sounds like you're back in the USA.
Yeah, it's a cousin to Hey, Hey, Get Out of My Way. With even
but
more
But this
fun.
Has a point.
Yeah, the game that they... Believe me, Wendy, no one thought it was more pointless than me. And I would talk to the elders of the school and go, this has to be stopped. There's no reason for this.
And you're right. It would drive me nuts. We're back in the USA. They weren't away from it.
No, they were still in the USA.
Was this a wartime thing that the soldiers coming back would say that?
No.
Because they're back in the USA after fighting in various countries.
Let's say you were a soldier and you served time... You know, in the theater of war, somewhere in the world, I think the last thing you'd want to do upon your return would be to link hands with other soldiers and walk across a playground trying to knock kids down. It's just uncharacteristic. It doesn't make sense. Very upsetting.
All right. Well, Red Rover features two teams from that form a line holding hands. Each team chants, Red Rover, send blank right over.
Let Johnny come over. Let Eddie come over.
Yeah, we did let as well, not send.
Right, let.
But including the name of the person they have chosen. The chosen person runs across to the other team and tries to break through their arms.
Mm-hmm.
If they succeed, they choose one person to take back to their team. If they do not break through, they must join the line.
This is very similar to Hey, Hey, Get Out of My Way. But even, I mean, that game was... This game, Red Rover, when you think about it, is just kind of dumb. The game that they played at my school was just full out dumb.
Was this your Catholic school?
Yeah.
Maybe because of Red Rum, they didn't want Red Rover, so they changed the name of it.
Oh.
Or red is the Satan is the devil's color.
Oh, maybe that. Yeah. All right. I'll buy into that.
Tag is another game, obviously, that's played on the playground.
Tag's a good game. Oh, I thought of another one.
There's always someone who's always, like, caught. There's, like,
a kid is going to lose.
I know, but they're caught every time, and it gets old. You start feeling bad for them.
Can I suggest one that has to be on there because it's a classic? That would be Duck, Duck, Goose?
No.
That's not on
the playground.
Where do you play that? On your desks.
You put your head down.
No, that's 7-Up.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting that confused.
The easiest game in the cheat. You could cheat at that game easier than Battleship.
You look at their shoes, right?
It's easy, yeah. As soon as you know, Those are Donna Integrita's shoes. You call out Donna Integrita. It's easy.
Although you must have been a shoe horse because you would identify, you knew what everybody was wearing.
Well, because whoever tagged your thumb down, you could look between the crack of your arm. You could see whose shoe it was.
I cheated, too. That's the only game I cheated at.
Everybody cheated at that.
Yeah, but I didn't cheat at Battleship that you said everybody else always cheats at. I never did, and I always lost. I wonder why.
That's why.
I loved that game.
You got to know. It says in the rules that you're going to cheat. Here's how to cheat at Battleship. It says in the rules.
I think we covered all of them. Tetherball, Foursquare, Funnel Ball, Capture the Flag.
Why isn't Duck Duck Goose on there?
That's Dodgeball, Kickball, Hopscotch, Hide and Seek, Tag, and Red Rover.
Yeah. All classics. But Duck Duck Goose is also...
That's for babies.
Much like Tag, whoever's slow, that's a lesson in if you're slow, you're going to lose. Right?
Yeah. It is.
It is.
But that's more of like a kindergarten.
Is that when
game.
You got to stop playing that?
Yeah, because you're not.
We still play that at Christmas every year in the family.
While you serve duck and goose?
Yes. We use actual.
The Christmas goose?
We use actual ducks and geese when we play duck, duck, goose. We're purists.
You know, think about these little kindergartners sometimes don't have the skills yet to play Foursquare.
Right.
So all you do is run. Everybody can run.
Right.
That's not one.
How about Eddie's Got a Runny Nose? Is that on the list?
No. I'm glad I didn't
go
to school with
game.
You. This just in from The Hollywood Reporter. French actor Gérard Depardieu accused of sexual assault.
I think he's had issues in the past. Hasn't he? Does it say it's the first time?
Let's see. Because this just came over today. A French woman believed to be an actress in her 20s. Has reportedly filed a criminal complaint with French police against the 69-year-old actor.
I think he's had some issues with this.
He has been accused of rape and sexual assault, according to a report from the BBC on Thursday. He denies the claims. According to Holland-based news agency BNO News, an investigation was launched after a woman told police that she was raped by Depardieu on two separate occasions.
Oh, man.
She had been sexually assaulted at Depardieu's home in Paris on August 7th and the 13th of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And prosecutors in Paris are looking into these charges.
Mm.
The woman, described as an actress and dancer in her 20s, was known to Depardieu, who was giving her professional advice.
Sure he was.
See, that's what upsets me so much, is these young people, and, you know, male and female... You befriend someone, first of all, I would have doubts, like, why does this person want to hang with me?
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people who really want to mentor and help someone.
Well, this is very similar to the same course of action that Bill Cosby took, where he would say to young actresses, you know, I'm interested in helping you further your career, work with me, and I'll help you, and stuff like that. And there are plenty of people out there who are really good people that do truly want to help others. Sadly, though, there's guys like Bill Cosby, or if this is true about Gérard Depardieu, who are taking advantage of them. The last thing they're doing is helping them. They're doing the opposite.
I know.
But I swear, I could have sworn that he had...
I don't have any information on that.
Nothing in there? All right.
But he is denying it. They have just been... Although, can I just say, I guess not although, but I guess a follow-up question, is has he even worked recently?
It's been a long time since I've seen his name connected with anything. He was one of those guys, we used to talk about him years ago, because in France, he was considered to be quite a sex symbol. He was like one of the hunkiest, most beloved of all the French actors, and then we'd see him here in the United States, and we'd go, really? What are you guys seeing that we're not seeing?
But there is something that's to be said for the whole package. And evidently, he was a nice person. He was funny.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean...
Right. Maybe.
He's actually gotten better looking as he's gotten older.
Yeah. There was a time when he was young that... I don't know that he was ever really handsome, but he had a presence to him. But then... He got kind of thick, you know?
Well, he's heavy, but so that doesn't...
No, I guess that's not... But he didn't look like if somebody lined up five guys and said, pick out the sex symbol,
I agree.
Gérard Depardieu, you'd go, well, I know it's not that guy. That can't be the guy.
Different people find beauty in different places.
Yes.
But I find Wikipedia to be wrong in most cases, and I have to ask you this. According to Wikipedia, they're always wrong. I don't even know why I go there, although it is the first thing that pops up usually.
Yeah.
He is one of the most prolific actors in film history.
He's been in a lot of movies.
Having completed approximately 170 films since 1967.
Oh, I didn't know it would be anywhere near that many. That's a lot of movies. How many of them are good? Does it say how many of the 170
no,
are good?
Green Card was good. I kind of fell in love with them in Green Card. I got to be honest
with
you.
Well, that's the one if... All right, so if you're a filmgoer that doesn't particularly like foreign films, that was
your introduction.
You're going to know him from.
Yeah.
You know? If he made 170 movies, he's making a lot of movies. I mean, that's an insane amount of movies. I remember, like, when I was growing up, people always talked about John Carradine because John Carradine made 100 movies. And people go, can you imagine being in 100 movies? Depardieu, they said, has made 170? Does that include home movies? Like, if the family just went on vacation, does that count?
No. Gerard Depardieu completely...
You say his name way better than I do, by the way.
His Depardieu's lawyer, Hervé
Valachez
said the actor, quote,
he didn't do anything wrong. He's fine. Leave him alone.
You scared me.
That client did nothing bad.
What's your favorite M&M?
The plane. I like the plane.
All right, I get him back on the playground. His lawyer, Hervé Tamime, said the actor, quote, absolutely refuted any accusation of assault or rape. I regret the public nature of this process, which poses a major prejudice to Gerard Depardieu, whose innocence I am convinced will be recognized. And that's true. If this is not the case,
yeah, that'd be horrible.
Yeah, because right. You're not going to believe it.
Right.
Like this whole Chris Hardwick thing with he and his at one time girlfriend who didn't really name him when she was on social media talking about someone who had abused her.
She didn't name him, but everything she said pointed at him.
Right, but she still could say that's not who I was talking about.
Yeah.
Because is it AMC looked into him and said, you know, we didn't find any wrongdoing,
right.
So we're going to put him back on the air. So does that make her claims false? Are there two camps here, two teams? What becomes of it, and why isn't this solved?
I think the mere fact that two of the people that worked on the show, as soon as he was reinstated, said, oh, we're not working with this guy anymore. So,
because it's a bad, whether he did it or not, his name was dragged through the mud either way.
Right. Oh, without a doubt. So it's hard to say, I didn't watch that show. You know, he does Talking Dead.
I watched it all the time.
Have you watched it since he's come back?
But that's because the show's not, I don't watch Fear the Walking Dead, so I wouldn't be watching it until the regular Walking Dead comes back.
But when it does come back, will you have any reservations at all? You won't?
No, because I guess I'm the one who wants facts, and the fact that nothing became of this. I'm not saying she's lying.
Right.
I'm certainly not. But her account and his account...
Very different.
Very different, and I want the solution. So
yeah.
I'm not going to make a judgment until it's solved here. And I guess my question to you is, will it be solved, or is it going to be left here?
I don't know that it's going to be solved more than it already...
She needs to come out and say, well, technically it's not how I stated, or, you know what, I'm glad AMC got him back in business, but I'm still sticking to my story.
There's really been... that I've seen anyway, little to no follow-up from her. Like, if I was her and AMC put him back, reinstated him as host of the show, I'd make a statement the next day saying, does what I just said not matter?
She said she did not want him to lose a job over this. That's why she didn't mention his name.
Yeah.
It was for her own self-cleansing to get it out there.
Yeah.
But
that makes it even trickier.
It does.
Hmm. I'm having the same. I told you the other day that Louis C.K. went back and did a guest set in New York on Sunday, and I'm having the same kind of battle in my head with that too. Because part of me goes, you know, I feel bad for the guy in that his days of stand up could potentially be over. But then I go, but to all the women whose lives he altered, changed, and or ruined, then he doesn't deserve to be back on a stage. Right. And it does bother me that he didn't address it at all. Like, I really think that
that's a comic's opportunity to bring it up, as you pointed out.
Ever, yeah. Right? So if you're a guy who says, the kind of comedy I do is based on a truth, why wouldn't you address the truth that needed to be addressed? That time on stage for Louis over the weekend was his most important time ever on stage, because everything that he had done in the past came to a pinpoint right that night, where he goes, I have to say something. You know, my life has been altered dramatically since the last time I did this, and he didn't say anything.
Yeah, that surprises me. That does.
Strange.
We have to wrap up and close up shop, but I wanted to read a text that, God bless this listener. You know how sometimes you are texting someone, whether it be your significant other or a friend, and someone else texts you, so another bubble comes up?
Yeah.
And then sometimes you reply to one thinking you're replying to the other?
Oh, yeah, sure, of course.
I think that's what happened, and I think this listener was trying to send this to their significant other or a friend, but we got it here at WGN Radio. It says, gave Critters their monthly stuff. Plus, Star got her last dose of meds. I forgot to mention again, but if you're shopping, please grab toilet paper, big 39-gallon heavy trash bags, and big sack cat litter, non-clumping type. Thanks. Also, Packers at Chiefs tonight, 7:30. See you Sunday.
Wendy, that was actually meant for me.
Oh.
In addition to doing the show, I also have a service where I pick up groceries for listeners. So that was toilet paper, cat litter, and what was the other?
Garbage bags.
Garbage bags. I can do that. I'll go with the hefty. All right.
Well, I did text and say, you know, you texted that to WGN, and they put, oh my, sorry about that, thanks.
That's right.
With an embarrassed face.
That's
but
fine.
But that's okay. I'm just trying to get the message out there, because I've texted my husband things, and sometimes, you know, he needs a little reminder.
Right. No, I get it. All right. We'll close things off next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I might be there this weekend.
You're going to go out there?
With the Bears game and maybe the Sox game and a family reunion and going to your house.
You be careful. Are you going to my house?
Yeah, we're going to play Duck Duck Goose.
Oh, yeah. We will have a game of Duck Duck Goose. A listener texted us saying that Gerard Depardieu was in 8 movies in 2017 or 2018 this year. 8 movies, and it's true. I'm on the IMDb page, but not just 8 this year. If you look at all the years in the last 15 or 20 or 25 or 30, he averages about 6 to 7 movies a year.
See?
Wow.
Stand corrected.
Wow. All right, that's it for today's show. Wendy will not be here today.
Who's in my place?
Are you here today? You are here today.
No, not really. Halfway.
Harry Tynowitz.
Oh, awesome. Tell Harry I said hello.
Yes, he'll be in.
Stop. Get me some chocolate. You can tell him that.
I'll tell him that.
All right.
Have a great weekend. Back tomorrow, everybody. Please listen in. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.